Touchdown Tampa Bay. You're listening to the PewterCast.
Welcome to another episode of the PewterCast. I am Brent Allen, your host, joined as always by my good friend Ren, wrapped up in a parka dax. What's up, buddy?
Yes, well, I haven't shaved in a couple of weeks, so I'm using the sweater to distract from hide my neck beard, and also, and it goes with sort of like the old salty man of the sea salt and pepper beard I got going on.
I was like, you haven't shaved your chest in a couple of weeks and you're trying to hide that? What are you just trying to distract? I see.
That is also true. Yes, I'm hiding.
There you go. Hey, that's what a quarantine will do to you. That's what a pandemic will do to you. And that's what
I had all intentions of shaving for the show, but yeah. I mean, you know what's been going on with this stupid PC of mine for the past few days.
Oh yes. We've just spent, I think, the last hour trying to do this show. Just
trying to get started. Yeah. Let's get the microphone to work. Like it's right. Jesus, man. So anyway, yes. My apologies, but I did the best I can, you know. There chicken you of the sea. There you go. Can sea. I get you any tuna? Any any king crab for you, anybody?
Yeah. There, Bryn, there's not been a whole lot of Bucks news, so I think that's going to do it for our episode today.
Yeah, our podcast just sounded like every other podcast that's come out since our last podcast.
Through no fault of their own, there's no, just it, not it, been
it's really
out
not.
There.
It's really yeah. not. Like,
right.
Hey, a Buccaneer player had a 30-second interview on the radio. Let's talk about that for an hour.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Right.
But like you said, it's no fault of their own, but it's been tough out there.
It has.
And it's been a lot of what we're doing right now.
Yes, it has.
Just filling time.
Vamping.
Is that what the kids are saying?
That's an industry term for filling time.
Vamping?
Yeah, vamping. Just going to riff on nothing for a few minutes to kill some time. Anyway, hey, let's stop killing time. Let's actually get to what we're going to talk about today.
We have a good show. I think it's going to be an interesting topic.
Yeah?
Yeah, I really do.
This one's your baby, Ren.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, I'm not... I came up with the idea, but you know, I'm not protecting it. I'm not going to die on this hill. I just thought it was a real interesting thing because the CBA has changed the way the fifth year option works, and the way it works now, it will not affect OJ Howard, but it will affect Vita Vea. And depending, it's all like depending on how you play, it's a difference in millions of dollars, which means a difference of millions of dollars in the salary cap. It is no longer slotted where you were drafted. You know, you were drafted number one, your fifth year option is worth this much money. Number two, a little less. Number three, it's not like that. It's done by transition tags, sort of, kind of. It's very interesting. And, you know, as a Buccaneer fan, you might start hoping that your rookies don't make Pro Bowls till year four.
Right. Because and this really does come back because as we have often touted the genius of Mike Greenberg and those in the office where they're figuring out all the salary cap stuff, this throws a whole new monkey wrench into that. And what this may mean going forward with more contracts coming online.
Yeah.
Old contracts going away, having new ones come in, you know.
And spoiler alert, you're going to have to revamp the entire way the Pro Bowl is selected.
Yeah.
You know, because if you were Lavonte David, or I shouldn't say that, like if you were an outside linebacker in a 4-3 defense, you absolutely have no shot of making the Pro Bowl at all. Zero. Right. And we're going to show, I have an example here in my book about the difference of what the type of money Vita Vea could make, depending on what he does this year. And it's a difference of like $9 million.
Right. And that heavily impacts us. So we're going to get into all of that on the backside of the break. And we're going to see what this looks like, especially here for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, talking about the brand new CBA fifth year option, among maybe some other things. Who knows what we'll come into. But that's coming up to you guys in just a few moments here on the PewterCast.
Ahoy, matey.
Welcome back to the PewterCast. Ren, we are here to talk about some fun stuff with the CBA guys, I promise you, we will do our best to not just rattle off a bunch of numbers, but try to bring you in. So Ren, why don't we start by talking a little bit more, or at least just one more time about how the fifth year option has worked so far. And this will affect OJ Howard, who we did pick up his fifth year option, but it's going to change for Vita Vea, Devin White moving forward. Who's our guy this year, Tristan Wirfs. And, you know, it's going to change for those guys as we move forward. But
yes,
So it used to work, like I alluded to at the beginning. You know, I guess the most popular one we can think of is Jameis Winston. Vernon Hargreaves has been shipped out. And OJ Howard is sort of, you know, kind of a weird case. And I don't really know what his fifth year option is, but we know what Jameis's was. Right. So normally, at the end of year three, before you roll into year four of your NFL career, if you're a first round draft pick, the team has to decide if they're going to pick up your fifth year option. And that is fully guaranteed except against injury. You know, if you get injured, then they can dump you. Under the new CBA, that's the first change. It is completely guaranteed. Okay. Now, the way it used to be, we know that Jameis Winston being the number one spot was like $20.1 or $20.3 million as the first overall draft pick in 2015.
Right.
And then I explained as you went down the draft, it got less and less and less and less. It doesn't matter how you perform. Doesn't matter what position you play. Exactly. That's just what it is. Now with the new CBA, not only do you have to qualify first to be eligible for the fifth year option, there's basically a three-tier structure, and it dramatically changes how much money you will make in that fifth year option. Mm-hmm. And that and all that depends on how many Pro Bowls you do or do not make.
This is crazy. So I'm assuming you've got a pretty good grasp of this, because I've read this CBA.
It took me like four times.
I've read it at least three times now, and I think I've got an idea, but there's so many moving parts to that. So help us out. You said there's three tiers, however you want to do it. 1, 2, and 3, 3, 2, and 1, 2, 1, 3. I don't care.
Right.
But help us out with these tiers.
So if you first to qualify roughly, and there's sort of like, you know, subsets because it's lawyerese, but if you play at least 50% of the snaps your first 3 years in the league, then you are eligible for your fifth year option.
Right.
The team can now pick it up. Okay. If you get injured and you play, if you could say you miss, say your rookie year, you get in there and you're behind, you know, someone like Gerald McCoy, and you were defensive tackle, you know, 2 years ago, and you know, you barely even played. You can sort of count that year as a wash. Gerald McCoy moves on. Now you're the starter. So for those 2 years, if you play 75% of the snaps, then you are eligible, or the team is eligible to pick it up. Okay. Now, like I said before, it all depended where you were slotted, where you were drafted in the first round, to about how much money you make. Now it's about how many Pro Bowls you make, and it's about the position that you make. So, you know, a few years ago, we were talking about how, well, just 2 years ago, we were talking about, you know, how great the Ravens were for trading back up in the first round to get Lamar Jackson on, you know, his fifth year deal as a quarterback. Well, now it doesn't matter because he's already made a Pro Bowl. And he gets quarterback numbers. So the way this works is, if you qualify 75% or 50% of the snaps, you get the average between the third and 25th highest paid player at your position. Okay. So Vita Vea, that'd be defensive tackle.
Right.
If you make one Pro Bowl, you get the transition tag, a transition tag types contract, I should say. Right. And what a transition tag contract is, the average between the first 10, 1 in 10 at your position. Again, it doesn't matter where you're drafted now. It matters where, what position you play, and if you've made Pro Bowls. Now, if you've made two Pro Bowls, you know, after your 3 years, then you are franchise tag, basically. You get the average of the first five. And that's how it works. Now you're like, okay, no big deal. I get it. But as a Bucks fan, looking at the salary cap, this is, let me break down these numbers for you for a person like Vita Vea. Okay. Has made no Pro Bowls, right?
Right.
So if he qualifies, which I'm sure he is, as far as 75/50%, what he's looking at is the average of $17.1 million to $7 million. Okay. Right. If he makes no Pro Bowls and hits that 75/50 mark, which averages out to just about $12 million.
Okay.
If he makes Pro Bowl this year,
right,
then he jumps up into the 1-10 bracket, which is $22.5 to $12 million, which is an average of $17 million. So if he makes a Pro Bowl this year, he makes $5 million more,
right,
as his fifth year option. Now, if he would have made the Pro Bowl before and he makes it this year, this isn't, you know, this is not going to count for him. Right. But you know, if a player on a team such as possibly Lamar Jackson with the Ravens, but these are defensive tackle numbers, it's the top five. So that's 22.5 to 16.3 million, which averages out to $19 million. So it is a difference of $7 million, depending on how many Pro Bowls you make. And how many times have we just blown off the Pro Bowl when our guys don't make it because it's a popularity contest?
Right.
And the way that a player like Levante David, who plays outside, who used to play outside linebacker in a 4-3 defense, could never beat out the outside linebackers in a 3-4 defense, a la Shaq Barrett, a la Jason Pierre-Paul, these sack masters, Khalil Mack, these guys that rush the passer, you know, and make their bread on sacks. Like, that's just, you know, they're going to have more tackles for loss. They're going to have more sacks. Sure. They're going to have more of the splash numbers. So the entire Pro Bowl has to be revamped now.
Right. And well, I mean, and that's been something that even when your former favorite player was here, Gerald McCoy, he often would talk about that because he was often talking about Levante getting snubbed out of the Pro Bowl, of just saying, look, it's not fair that these two positions are in the same group just because they have the same name. And I mean, the easiest thing to me is just start calling them something different because they're different positions. Right.
Like take two edges.
Different. Yeah.
Take two outside linebackers. Right. Take two edges.
Right. So the just to sum that up, in case anybody said swimming, the basic idea is that going forward, there are three tiers, as you said, to making the to getting the fifth year option. And depending on where you fall in those tiers, that could swing, you know, $5-9 million. And the reason why that matters, well, we may be glad for the player to make that kind of money,
right?
It does affect the salary cap
hugely.
And
huge.
The other flip side of that coin is you could go, yeah, but they'd be worth it. You know?
Yeah, they earned it.
Yeah, they've earned it. So good for them. Good on them. But I mean, and it really can alone could eat up the
it can eat up two free agents.
Right. Well, I'm thinking the increase, the salary cap increase they go through every year.
Oh, like the $10 million that goes
every year. That can take care of that real quick, you know, every single year that they go through. And the example that they use over here is they talk about like real world examples of the three. You've got Quentin Nelson over for the Colts, who has made two Pro Bowl. And so he's going to get the highest tier.
He's going to get a franchise tag 1-5.
Right. And then Saquon Barkley, who has only made one Pro Bowl, will get that transition tag.
Right. The 1-10.
Right. And then Baker Mayfield, who hasn't made any Pro Bowl, but he has played the correct number of snaps at his position
to qualify, which will give him an average of 3-25.
Right.
So, and you know what? Like, Mayfield actually might end up making more money than both of those guys, because guards, and even though it's a top five, you know, average of the guards, like, you know, it's not as high as like the top paid guard isn't as much as like the top 10 paid quarterbacks. Right. Like, it's not even close.
Right.
It's probably half.
Right.
So like, even if you got a player like a baby, and that's where it's like now, like positions come, like what position you play, even if you don't perform, like still other positions get screwed, like tight end. Like, you know, I know George Kittle wasn't a first round draft pick, but he has way outplayed his contract. I mean, way outplayed it. Right. Was he a first round draft pick? I don't think so. I don't think so. Well, but it doesn't matter. Like, the top tight ends paid like $10 million, $11 million, you know, and he's way more, you know, valuable than that to an offense.
Right.
So these things, and with the Pro Bowl being such a flux, do they give the numbers on those three players?
Let me look. As far as like what the, no, it does not say what they would act.
Okay. So I'd have to go back and do the math, which I'm not. Cause I only did it for the defensive tackle. But, you know, and again, as far as the Pro Bowl, with it being, you know, a 1/3 coach, or, you know, 1/3, it's 1/3 coach. Yeah. 1/3 coaches, 1/3 players, 1/3 fans votes.
Right.
And that's how you select the Pro Bowl. That's got to go out the window. You know, we've talked about this before. Even if you're a Hall of Fame voter, you know, and this is not a shot at Ira, but Ira doesn't know you know, who's good on the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
You know, they have an outstanding middle linebacker. I don't know his name. I know Ira doesn't know his name either, but the guy could be having an all pro or a Pro Bowl or a, excuse me, Hall of Fame type career thus far. Mm-hmm. And you never heard of the guy. You gotta depend on like this 5 minute speech. This, you know, this other person gives you in this room and kind of make your vote on that. Mm-hmm. So like coaches don't like, you know how hard they work.
Right.
If they're not playing a team, like they don't know, like we're not like Bruce Arians isn't going to know who I could use Buffalo again. I could use Cleveland, like, mm-hmm. you know, or Pittsburgh. Like he's not going to know who's playing well in Pittsburgh.
Right.
And neither are the players. You know, they get to watch what, like one game a week, like Monday night, maybe. And it's the same freaking 5-7 teams every Monday night. You know, it's got to totally be revamped. And my suggestion is that the NFLPA, the NFL's Player Association, comes up with some type of rules and a committee and a grading system. And they plug that into a computer like PFF does.
Right.
And it cranks out.
Not the same computer, though.
No, no, not the same grading scale. Yeah, no, it's real hard to argue that, you know, okay, that's the fourth quarter, great game. And 10 minutes later, they have offensive line grades for like all 10 guys. And it's like, like, I don't know, like no, you know, and not only all 10 guys, but all for all the like 9 1 o'clock games that went off. And it's like, you know, but it's the best we have. And, you know, at least they're all scored the same. Uh-huh. So even though it may be a crappy system, the system's crappy for everybody. Uh-huh. So I would like to see a better system done by the NFLPA, because the NFLPA is the one who will be getting these players, being fair to them, and getting these rookies, if, you know, if they play well enough, to get these extra like 5, 7, 10, 12 as quarterbacks, like fifth year option for oh God, I've said his name like 3 times already. No. For the Ravens QB.
Oh, Lamar Jackson.
Thank you. Yep. Lamar Jackson. Like his fifth year option is just going through the roof. Right. If he makes a Pro Bowl again this year, like he gets paid as a top 5 quarterback, you know, as a fifth year option. So it'd be better for the Ravens to sign him to a long-term deal as soon as he makes that second Pro Bowl.
Right.
Hey.
Right. And I think that's a big reason why the Players Association or the Players Union wanted something like this, because while yes, that's a you know, phenomenal amount of money to you and me and anyone else out there, what these players are really after are the long-term contract. Generally speaking, they don't want that 1 year that's going to be $20 million or whatever. They want the 4 year that's going to be $60-$80 million
after the guaranteed money.
Right So it's just more of an incentive for teams who, especially those who exercise the option, you know, for people who qualify, however that works, to get these guys under contract. And it would behoove the team to make that happen, you know, sooner rather than later, for sure. So rather than just letting them play out the fifth year, if they can avoid that.
Depending on the position.
Yeah.
Like if George Kittle was a first round draft pick, and I'm kind of thinking that he was. No, he couldn't have been. Anyway, but if like someone like a tight end or Quentin Nelson like a guard, I'd let him play out their fifth year deal. You know, mm-hmm. It's only an average. You're the best tight end, but you're only getting an average of the top 5.
Right.
And guess what? The one that makes the most is making 11.
Right.
So I'm probably getting you for $7 million, right. You know, like, but if like, again, if you're a QB that was drafted 32nd in the first and you're on your, you know, second or third Pro Bowl, it's like, hey, buddy, you want to sign a lot? Nope. I'm going to wait for my fifth year option and get paid like $29 million for 1 year.
Right.
Because I've earned it.
Right. Not a bad year.
So how do you think that, what would you do to fix the Pro Bowl voting? Like, what are some stipulations?
I mean, your suggestion of it coming out of the hands of the popularity, mm-hmm. I think is 100% a necessity. If you're a player, you can't leave your financial future.
Oh, and I should say that it's, you have to be voted first time. You can't be a replacement
on the original ballot. Yeah, that's what it
comes to.
On the original ballot.
Yeah. So if you're injured or you're in the playoffs or going to the Super Bowl or whatever, and you can't play and someone come and replace you, that doesn't count. Like Jameis Winston's Pro Bowl wouldn't count.
Right.
Right.
Juan Alexander's, I think, too. Right.
Yeah. No, definitely not.
Right. Whereas Chris, now that's an interesting thing thinking forward. Now, Chris Godwin does not qualify for a fifth year option. He wasn't a first round pick, but where he made his Pro Bowl Bowl last year,
mm-hmm.
and it was not a replacement. It was not an alternative. No. It was he got voted in. That would kick that in. In fact, they actually have a whole thing structured for non-first round players now as well. It's not a fifth round option. They're calling it like a performance pay enhancement or something like that.
Yeah. Basically, if you know you're somebody that you know plays like a first rounder and you've mm-hmm. out, you know, I guess someone, I keep up bringing the same people, but someone like George Kittle. Right. God, I hope he didn't. Hope he wasn't a first rounder.
Chris Godwin. But, I think we could just say Chris Godwin.
There you go. Somebody like Chris Godwin. Right. Well, I don't know, because, you know, Chris Godwin, you know, he had a fantastic year last year, but his first 2 years were, you know, they were fine, mm-hmm. but they weren't like they were this year. Like, right. you know, he barely even got on the field his first year.
Right.
And his second year, I thought he dropped the ball too damn much.
I honestly don't remember.
I do.
Yeah. Oh, I know you do. You have that kind of memory.
Yeah, I do.
But I definitely remember last year.
And he fixed it this year. Like, right. I think he was like number one in the league or top five in the league is like in catchable balls dropped. Like he didn't have any.
Yeah. If this is pure like memory serves sort of a thing, I think Chris Godwin may have had like bigger highlight plays, and maybe it just seems like he had more plays than Mike Evans, more memorable plays than what Mike Evans had. Mike Evans is just Mike Evans. He's just great.
Yeah. It's because he doesn't, he makes you tackle him.
Yeah.
It's his yak.
Right.
You know, it's just the way it is. And yeah. Mike doesn't have it.
Right.
Mike has everything to be a wide receiver, and he has it enough in spades where he can still be a top five receiver in the league with having no yak, because he never has.
Never has, and he's
still a top five wide receiver. Chris Godwin's yak, because he's not as, you know, as athletically gifted as in like size and mm-hmm. speed, and you know, he's, you know, Mike's not a blazer, but you know, he's this sort of average size for a wide receiver, but he does everything well.
Yeah.
You know, he catches, you know, I think he has contested catches. I think he's a little better than Mike, and Mike's really good at it. But when it comes to yak, Chris Godwin makes you tackle him.
Yeah.
He makes you tackle him. He doesn't go down. And that's when you put the ball in his hands, you know, it's sort of like it's his yards per catch is better than Mike's, because right. even though he gets less targets and less deep balls, he gets slants and digs and ends, but he catches the ball while he's moving and he continues to move.
Yeah.
So it, those plays stick in your head where he breaks a tackle, mm-hmm. makes an arm, you know, splits two safeties, gets an extra 10 yards. I mean, remember that screen pass to him in the Rams game? It was the short side of the field. Jameis stood up. We were like on the 8-yard line. Jameis mm-hmm. stood up, fired at the short side of the field. He had nowhere to go.
Right.
And he just like ran over two Ram DBs. What's that? What's that machine at One Buck Place? The XLZ590 or something that you can plug. You can type some stuff in. It'll pull up any play from any game ever.
Right.
Yeah. So you right. just like type it in. Chris Godwin, Rams, touchdown. And it'll probably like, you know, you get like three choices.
Right.
Like, boop, there it is. That's the one I want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you get one of those for the show, Brent?
Might need another sponsor. Just one more. But to go back to your question, now that I've had a moment to really think about it, of how do I think that the Pro Bowl voting should change?
Yeah.
I think it would have to move to a far more objective set of criteria. And I can't sit here and tell you what that looks like, because I think that that criteria would have to be different per position. Like, because each position has different things that they value. Take wide receiver. You just talked a lot about yak and where they go with yak, but quarterback doesn't care about yak, you know, or like a guard doesn't care about yak. So like each position would almost have to have their own certain set of objective
measurables. Well, they care about it, but it doesn't.
What?
I mean, I don't want to say, I'm not going to agree with you that they don't care about it, but as far as their, you know, numbers being plugged in to try to make the Pro Bowl, they don't care about it.
That's what I'm talking about. Right.
Yeah.
So,
hey, you gave me a 2-yard pass. I just ran for 98 yards. I don't care.
No, they care. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'm just clearing it up.
I think it would have to go that way. And that's a massive undertaking, because I think again, you have to get it out of the hands of a popularity contest, especially the fan.
Yeah.
Especially
for sure.
These are not pewties. This is, you're talking about people's livelihood here. And I think that's a huge, or
we're talking millions of dollars on a popularity contest. So I can see like players like going to social media now
and like stumping
for votes and having,
dude, why are you talking about this? Cause it's $7 million if I do, you know?
Yeah. Because if I make the Pro Bowl, it's an extra $5 million in my pocket. Would you like to give me $5 million? Right. No, then get out of my face. Exactly. And let me make goofy faces on Instagram.
Right. So now we got the politicking going on. But yeah, it at least it has to get rid of the fan vote. The idea that it's player selected still appeals to me, even if it's not going to go as objective, because at least the players tend to have a
I think you should only be able to vote on people that you play that year if a player does it.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, so presumably every position would have the same number of votes because every team plays an equal amount every year, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, that would, yeah, that's
that's be the way I would count the player vote. Uh-huh. I would honestly, I would take it out of everybody's hands and just give it to a committee, like give like some, you know, some of like big names, you know, give it a little buzz, like, you know, some of these older players that are like late 70s, early 80s players that didn't get the money that, you know, players are getting now. And, you know, give some of these guys jobs if they want it, you know, that obviously not all of them are destitute. And I'm not saying go get the destitute, but like get sort of, you know, these icons and legends of the games re-involved, give them a structure and they can do it from home. All they gotta do is watch tape at home.
Yeah.
You know, they just got to watch film at home. And then, you know, like maybe, I don't know, assign, I don't know, because you have to go through a lot of games. So, but you could box score your criteria pretty easy on the skill positions.
Sure you could. And I mean, the other way then is you think about it. I think of like the Academy, the American Film Actors Academy, Film Academy, whatever it is, that does the Oscars. You know, like you can't, nobody can just vote on the Oscars. You got to be a part of their union or whatever to be a voting member. Like maybe there's something like that where there's a voting membership type deal. And it becomes an industry award that they get.
It is an industry award.
Yeah, but man, and I'm pro fan. Don't get me wrong. I am pro fan, but it just,
you need to step out because people are going to vote for other, like I would vote, even if I thought Cam Newton, we'll flash back like 3-4 years. Cam Newton was the best player in the NFL.
You weren't voting.
I would not vote for that guy.
Right.
And because I'm a jerk and because I just don't like his personality.
Yep.
So I could argue to myself to find somebody else in the NFC that, but look at his deep completion percentage, or, you know, he didn't behind the offensive line. Well, yeah, Cam, but he got all his on the ground. They're playing 11-on-11 football. This guy has to play, 10-on-11 football. And I could, you know, make it in my head, I could have an argument where I'd vote for the other guy. You and if I really justify it. Thank you. And if I really dislike Cam Newton, I could vote for the other guy as much as I want. That's another thing.
Yeah.
Is like you can stuff the ballot, you know, like we did for Big Nasty for the Hall of Fame.
Hey, listen, I voted many times.
I did too.
Different browsers all on the same day. I can't say every day, but a lot of days.
I voted at least 5 days a week on 3 different devices.
Yeah, I get it. And there were times when the system was broken and I could just re-vote on the same device like again and again and again real quick for a while.
But with the Pro Bowl, can you do that with the Pro Bowl? Because I know you can do
vote unlimited times with the Pro Bowl. I'm pretty sure too. Sure. Yeah.
So like now you've got, you know, like no Pittsburgh Steelers making it, you know, come hell or high water. Right. Ain't no way, no Philadelphia, you know, I'm a Dallas fan. No way Philadelphia Eagles, no Eagles are making it. Like, nope. So you got to take it. I mean, so what do you give the fans to replace it?
Yeah.
Do you come up with some kind of fan vote? And what do you do with special teamers? Because like a special teamer is elected to the Pro Bowl, basically a kick returner.
Right.
Now there's no position as far as the salary cap go as a kick returner. Yeah. There's not there's specialist punters, long snappers.
Right. Yeah. But let's face it though, as far as the fifth year option though goes, nobody who's doing a fifth year option is going to qualify as a special teamer though.
Devin Hester, greatest punt returner of all time. Deion Sanders.
Right. But where they're going to slot in though, is at their,
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
I guess. Yeah, you're right. There's not gonna,
They're not getting they're not getting voted in solely on that one thing.
That's why Raymond Calais was taken in the seventh, not the first. Gotcha. Now I got you. Okay, no,
that's all I'm saying. Because it just
Hey, we're talking through it, man.
Yeah, there you go.
There
you go. I tell you who I don't think should get a vote in this, and it's the same people I don't think should get a vote in the Hall of Fame thing. And you know, much love and respect to all the people out there, but I don't think the media has any business in it and voting. And
no,
we've had entire shows on why the media doesn't need to vote for the Hall of Fame. And you know who needs to vote for the Hall of Fame? The people who are currently in the Hall of Fame. Let them vote on who's going to come into their club.
Yep.
That's it.
Period. End of story.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I mean when I say maybe there's a sort of, it's a players club. Like you get to be a voting member for who gets into the Pro Bowl, and that's who you decide.
I don't think it can be like a vote like that. Well, I mean, I understand. Yes, I get what you're saying. But I don't think it can be a vote where it's, well, who do you think should make it? Oh, I think this should be. I think it should be a purely, however you make up with the stats and however you make up the grading system, make it completely as fair as possible, plug in the numbers and have the computer spit it out.
Right.
Now it's going to be, you know, you got to get really nuanced for guards and centers and tackles and, you know, defensive tackles and middle linebacker, I guess you could do a middle linebacker. Now it's like, you got to be able to cover. That would be huge for me. It's not really about tackles, because then, you know, if Derek Brooks wasn't in Monty Kiffin's defense, he'd still been a good player, probable great player. You know, I give him a more than fair chance that he would have been a Hall of Famer, but he wouldn't have had all those tackles because that defense was set up to eat up all the blocks.
Right.
And Derek Brooks was a speed, just run everything down. And he did. And he didn't miss tackles. He was great at his job. But there was also another inside linebacker who didn't get any credit at all because he didn't make any tackles, because that's the system, is what I'm saying. Yeah. You know, so you have to really sort of nuance and massage how you grade these players because of, you know, their importance to their defense, and the difference is between defenses shining on, you know, certain positions.
Right. Yeah. However they do it, I got to tell you though, however they do it,
this is big money.
It's not going to be fair. Like, there's always going to be, it's going to be a flawed system because, and I think the flaw in the entire plan here is the idea that they are basing so much emphasis on a Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
But they don't have anything else. Then create something else. You voted on this for 10 years. This is it for the next 10 years.
Oh, yeah. They voted on it. Yeah. For the next
this 10 CBA
years.
This CBA is for the next 10 years. Yeah. Figure something out. Come up with a system.
That's what I'll do. I'll come up with some sort of system.
Having contract stuff that is based on the number of Pro Bowls you get. Because you know what else they could have had? They could have talked about if you got selected to the All-Pro team. Or
I got this idea from another podcast, and they said that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and when I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So when I went to find, you know, find the CBA and find the section where this was, I was fully expecting for it to be some type of all, I was looking for the word all pro. Like, I thought it was like, didn't make any Pro Bowls, made a Pro Bowl, made an All-Pro, and those would be the three tiers, but it wasn't. So, and because like All-Pro is a lot harder to get into, even though it's still voted on by the media, but they usually get it right. Like, there might be a snub, but there's no one ever gets in the All-Pro that doesn't deserve it.
Right.
Like, there's guys that get in the Pro Bowl, it's like, you're really like fifth best, but you play for the Cowboys because they have 9 million Twitter followers and they can stuff the ballot box and they play on TV all the time. So, you know, it get to be seen. So it's a popularity contest, you know, if the team that wins or is in a huge market, those guys tend to get the benefit of the doubt. And like we talked about, you know, with trying to get Allie in the Pro Bowl, we're talking about Allie getting the Pro Bowl. It's like, you know, once you get there, it just kind of, and your play doesn't drop off. You just kind of stay. It's sort of hard to knock out offensive linemen because, you know, they're just like, oh, that's the guy. Yeah. Oh yeah. What? Jason Peters. Oh yeah. He's great. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. Let's vote for him again. Okay. I know that name. Click. Why do you know it? Because he's been a Pro Bowl the last 3 years.
Right. Right. And some of it's, I don't know who any of these people are. Let me just click somebody.
Yeah. It needs to be revamped because that's serious money. That's almost like double his salary.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, like, I mean, and you
check that out.
I mean, but think about that. If you're on the other side of that, like, let's say you're the GM, you're the cap analyst for a team, right?
Yeah.
And you're thinking about it and you're like, yeah, there's no way that this player is going to qualify for the Pro Bowl, like just based on their play. And then all of a sudden popularity kicks in, like, oh, they actually did. Okay. That it changes your formula.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, I guess a good person would have those backup plans already in place, but you know, they'd run it the different ways.
But that's a huge backup plan. I mean, that is a massive variable.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Like, it's a $7 million variable.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money just to be.
And you're right. That's a couple of free agents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or one really good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's two Shaq Barretts. That's a Shaq Barrett and a Perryman.
Wait, what?
Shaq Barrett and Bernard Perryman. Rashard Perryman.
Right. For $7 million?
They're both. Well, one was four and one was four and a half, I think. So.
Oh, you're talking about. It. I'm sorry. You were talking about for that first. I was thinking like now. I was like, Shaq Barrett's not anywhere near $7 million by himself.
Where's that hometown discount you kept talking about, Shaq?
Jeez. So, all right.
Did you see that crap about him? Like, people going after him on Twitter?
No. What?
Okay. I didn't really see it either. I don't understand who these people follow. Like, I'll open up Twitter and it's like, you know, I see all these people dump it on Shaq Barrett. And I'm like, where?
Who? Right.
Who is? Like, I don't see these
I saw that. People dump it on Shaq. You know where it is, Ren? It's over on Facebook.
But apparently, like, this is what Shaq Barrett said. Shaq Barrett said that the Bucks were a playoff team with Jameis Winston. Okay. Now with Tom Brady, we're a Super Bowl contender. And people got mad at him for throwing shade on Jameis. Like, saying Brady's better than Jameis. Like, went after him on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
Like, fuck it. Like, I'm serious. Like, what in the world do you, like, how is that even, you know?
That's not shade on Jameis. That's complimenting Tom Brady is what that is.
Yeah. And by the way, hint, hint, it's giving Jameis more credit than he deserves.
There you go.
It is.
There you go.
I mean, hey, you know.
Hey, look, here's.
They were a playoff team last year.
I don't want to talk about Jameis anymore. He's not on this team and I don't care.
That's exactly it. I've
got stuff I want to say, but I am going to show some restraint on my thoughts about that particular former player of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And yeah. But let's talk about who we have here though with that, Tom Brady, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He also did not get a fifth-year option.
Right. Tom Brady is not going to keep us out of the playoffs, right?
No.
I'm excited for this year. I don't know what kind of Tom Brady we're going to get. I really don't. You know, the powers that be seem to think that Tom Brady hasn't lost anything. He hasn't lost any zip. He hasn't done whatever.
It doesn't matter if he's lost any zip. All you got to do is not turn the ball over.
Right. We've got the roster for it. And that's what we've been saying for how many years now, Ren? We've got a roster.
We could have made the playoffs the last 2 years if we just had somebody that would venture to say
three.
If we just had a game manager like an Alex Smith.
I would not say that, but maybe.
I would. I think we would have made it the last two with like Jacoby Brissett.
It's possible. It's because the talent on this roster is so thick, and it's why Tampa has been such a head scratcher. Like, look at the other teams in the league that are typically not very good, mm-hmm. right? You look at their roster and you just kind of go
Saints, Panthers, Falcons. Yeah, no, I'm kidding.
you know what I mean? The ones that are like perennially not good, you look at what they have and you're like, yeah, okay, it's not great. But we look at
you the got Buccaneers. A lot of holes.
Yeah. But you look at the Buccaneers and every year we've gone, we don't have a lot of holes. We've got great talent around this whole team or on every level of the roster. Yeah. And
there was a lot of, like, you know, players to make these jumps and expectations.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it just never happened.
Right.
Like, you know, I don't know if I said it on this podcast, but, you know, I said it during draft day. Like, I have said it. Like, OJ Howard's played at his floor. Mm-hmm. Like that, you know, you have floor. Like that's all he's done. He's played right at his floor. He hasn't even got nowhere near the ceiling. Now, lucky for us, his floor is pretty damn good. You know, it's Pro Bowl conversation tight end,
right?
Because you put the ball in his hands. If he catches it,
as long as it's on the front side of his body,
right? You know, it's gonna be. Odds are it's gonna be a big play,
right?
You know, so Kendall Beckwith going down, you know, like Jameis didn't pan out. Hargraves didn't pan out. Like these 1-2 Aguayo didn't pan out. Like these first and second round draft picks and guys that are supposed to be glue guys, you know, Justin Evans going down. But last year, when we got a top five or top tier NFL coaching staff in here, mm-hmm. everybody made a leap. Everybody yeah. made a leap. Even Jameis made a leap, both good and bad. Right. Like everybody took a step forward. Yeah. Kappa did. Ronald Jones did. The entire defensive backfield did. The defensive line did. Donovan Smith had his best year. Mm-hmm. The only person who didn't take a step forward was Dot. But, you know, his knees were made out of glass by then.
Right, right. Poor Dot. Yeah, well, no, not poor Dot. I don't know how much money he's made, but he's okay.
Yeah, he's okay.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, he'll okay. Be, plus,
Dot had a good career. Let's we don't have to
buy yeah, for yeah. He for really showing up for showing up in back pair of basketball shoes as a tryout.
Cut out the toes of his cleats.
Yeah. 9 years yes. in the NFL is like a starting right tackle. Yeah.
Right. And 12 years total.
Yeah, he's done. Good. He's fine. He's fine.
Good. All right, Ren. Well, with that, I think we've covered this from every angle. Unless you got something else.
The best place to find me is on Twitter at Rendax, RENDAXT. I'm always down to talk Buccaneers football, but if you feel like your take is too hot or you just want to put it out there in the Twittersphere, feel free to DM me and we can talk Buccaneers football there as well.
Will you also talk about food and Galaxy Quest and Tetherball with them in DMs?
I'd have to be pretty bored.
Yeah.
Pretty bored. Yeah.
You guys want to find me? You can find me at Brent Allen Live across all the social medias. And you can find the PewterCast at the PewterCast on Twitter, Facebook.com/ThePewterCast, Instagram.com, also on the PewterCast. You can go check that out over there as well, too. Please like, subscribe to our YouTube channel. And hey, don't forget, you guys listening to this on the podcast feed, you can now actually watch the video, the live taping, the live recording, and see all the stuff that got cut out of the final podcast version of this particular episode right over there at YouTube.
Which would be the last 5 minutes that you've just listened to.
Maybe 15. Let's see here. YouTube.com/ThePewterCast.
Why is the pod only 30 minutes?
Right. Why are we jumping around every time we say a sentence? It's because I was at it. Anyway, so you guys go over there, check that out. And hey, listen, guys, it's the off season. Coming up, this is typically, Ren, the time of year where we start looking at OTAs, we look at mini camp, those sorts of things. But that's not happening right now. I think facilities are starting to reopen around.
Coaches were allowed back today, which is Monday, June 1st.
Right, right. So I've got to believe that, you know, what you call that, we call the long dark night of football, that mm-hmm. mid-June to very late July, where nothing is happening. I imagine that's just going to get obliterated this year, and we'll probably see some crammed up version of OTAs and installs. And because I, you know, from my sources, they're really looking to start training camp on time. Like they're wanting to move things at its normal pace once they get back. So it'll be interesting to see what the NFL does here over the next couple of weeks, for sure.
Sure.
Come out of it. So anyway, that said, future programming, who knows what happens. As soon as stuff starts happening, I guarantee you, Ren and I will be back talking more about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, your beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And until next time, my friends, go Bucks.
But Doyle rules.